This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My special guest tonight on Bent Notes is a player of the double bass based in Sydney with a band called The Consouls, and that's spelled C-O-N-S-O-U-L-S. I'm sure there's a story behind the name of that band. However, he's also a passionate video gamer, and I'd have to say that with a last name that seems to fit that passion, I'm looking forward to speaking and welcoming Jonathan Gamra. Welcome.
Hello, thanks very much for having me.
A pleasure indeed, Jonathan. Now, you are a gamer, as I understand it, and your last name is so close to that.
Yes, it's somewhere in the middle of camera and games, isn't it? So it sort of all fits in pretty well with this whole ensemble.
It does indeed. Now, why is gaming a passion for you? I'm not a gamer myself. I don't understand what it is about gaming that grabs people's attention. What is it?
The thing with me was, like, as a child, I was always sort of like, you know, you sort of get all sorts of different media thrown at you from like music and movies, but I was always sort of a bit of a fidgety kid. So as a kid, games always stuck out to me originally. But then sort of as I got a little bit older and it became more of a social thing, I started to get into more of like the competitive side of things. And then I suppose that like streak carried on into my adult life. I don't really do so much like single play gaming now, but the sort of community aspect around a lot of like competitive stuff is sort of something that stuck with me as I've gotten a little bit older and things have started to change a little bit.
What is it about the gaming that actually grabs people's attention? Is it the story? Is it a challenge? What is it?
Gaming is such a broad medium in the sense that you can have everything from literal, what they call hallway simulators, where you're sort of just holding forward on the stick and using the character as a means to sort of guide you through to the next story beat. And then that can cover everything from something like that, which is really just sort of a story being thrown at you, to a really like mechanically focused, involved sort of experience. I guess people come to gaming for all sorts of reasons, but me in particular, I sort of like the holistic nature of the medium, how it's interactive. You can, you know, you're challenging yourself on sort of a cognitive level, the artistic side of things, both from a sound perspective and, you know, the art style itself and the stories that can be told, because you're spending, you know, some games you're spending 50, 60, 70 hours with. It just allows you to tell a much more longer story than you would get out of a 2 or 3 hour movie.
Why is it something that people jump onto instead of just going and watching a movie? What is it that makes it better than the movie?
I mean, the length can be one thing. The interactive nature can be one thing. You know, people sort of drawn to it for all sorts of different reasons. I mean, if you're going on the more gameplay side, the feeling of like getting a certain game mechanic down and overcoming like a boss or whatever it just feels good. But also, you know, the fact that in some games you can spend very, very long periods of time in a particular world, it can allow you to get a much more drawn out story. You know, you do have your bite-sized experience, which sort of offer the same sort of thing, but it's just a very diverse medium, especially, you know, as it's sort of grown in popularity, people are starting to explore it, explore its true potential more and more.
Is it something that people use as a means of escaping the reality of their world?
It can be, definitely for a lot of people, just like with, you know, TV series or movies or books or whatever else. You know, you can use it as a way to sort of escape the world. Or if you're playing, you know, something that's multiplayer focused and has like a community around it, it can be a means to actually interact with other people and sort of get more immersed into a specific community within our world as well.
So if you're interacting with other people, you're interacting with them as characters in the games?
That does happen in some instances, but a lot of the time, you know, when you're dealing with something where there's a joint objective, it's sort of a bunch of people over headsets or in person being like, all right, let's just do this, and sort of working towards a shared goal. And, you know, when there's downtime, you're sort of bantering and get to knowing each other. But it's not so much role-playing rather than just sort of the community just getting together to sort of achieve a shared goal.
So you don't actually have to be a character in a game to be playing almost as a team.
That's right. I mean, the character sort of acts as your avatar, but as far as actual role-playing, you know, the game sort of tends to cover that. And, you know, the human element is sort of more, all right, well, here's what we're doing. Let's just try and, you know, figure it out.
How important is the music within the games?
Well, obviously, I'm a bit biased on this one, but I think it can make a huge difference, sort of depending on what sort of game you're playing, for sure. But especially in a lot of narrative experiences, it really does, invoke a lot of emotions and like well and truly, you know, after you play the game. So this concert we're doing in Melbourne next week, Ocarina, is dealing with, it's celebrating the music of a long-standing series, The Legend of Zelda. And, you know, for a lot of people, the most iconic entry in the series, Ocarina of Time, came out 20 years ago. And, you know, a lot of people would have gone on and a lot of people would have sort of moved on from games, but just listening to those themes sort of invoke the feelings of playing the game and being in that world and conquering the, you know, the various trials that you sort of go through while playing that game. So in that sense, I think music is incredibly important to the sort of overall product that, you know, games are.
Just a quick side question. Who is Zelda?
Zelda is the damsel in distress of the popular series called The Legend of Zelda. Well, she originally was a Zelda, the damsel in distress. In more recent entries, she definitely had a more empowered role. And yeah, the series sort of follows her and the protagonist Link and sort of their relationship as they try and save the world time and time again.
So these are a series of games just built around the same character?
That's right. It's sort of each game is sort of a retelling of the same sort of structure but has its own, you know, very, very different settings. Like one is based around pirates and on water. Ocarina of Time is a much more traditional, you know, like fantasy setting, and it's just sort of a retelling of a broad story with these characters, but told, you know, in sort of different interpretations and with different sort of gameplay loops.
And does the music continue to evolve through each episode? Does it have links that are similar, or do they change things episode after episode?
You do get a lot of title to title. You do get a lot of sort of reiterations and rearrangements of, like, character themes and, you know, if the same town is going to pop up. Like, it's all based around this type, this world called Hyrule. And, you know, there are definitely some core themes that go game to game. But in addition to sort of those rearrangements, each game definitely has their own themes and their own sort of like motifs that they play off, as, you know, each world is a little bit different, you know, so they try and play off that as well.
You've obviously taken the music side of things very seriously because you've gone and got together with a few friends and created a band called The Consoles. And as I understand it, you're specifically jazzing up video game music.
That's right. The whole premise of the band was just a bunch of guys who sort of got together and it's like, all right, well, we like jazz, we like games. Is there a way we can sort of throw this together? And as it turns out, yeah.
There is.
We've been able to do it for a couple of years now. So, yeah.
So the name Consoles, that's obviously come from somewhere because it's spelled Consoules.
Oh, I wish I had a more interesting story for you than that. But basically, the whole way this story goes, that keyboard, that pianist Julian, he had his own personal channel for a number of years before this sort of band came to be. He was sort of doing his own thing with like solo piano arrangements and duets with other prominent YouTubers. But sort of he'd spent, you know, years and years sort of finding the different members of the band to try and get this project together. I was sort of the last piece in that puzzle. And when I think it sort of got to a point where he'd finally got the lineup together and, you know, I'd sort of come on board to help with a lot of, you know, the IT side of things, getting the channels up and running and getting all that. And then once all those pieces had come into play, it was like, right, we've got a convention, we've got a gig, we need to get something up and running. So, you know, soul music, like console soul music is sort of adjacent to, like, in the world we want to sort of operate in. That'll do for the time being. Let's just see how this goes.
And it stayed.
As it turns out, it went.
Let's run through who you've got in your band there.
Okay, so the core lineup is the quartet that will be travelling down to Melbourne, which is myself on double bass, Mark Joya on drums, Julian Sanchez on piano, who also goes by the alias Zorzi, who does his own solo stuff in that sort of world as well, Tim Talen on saxophone. So that's sort of our core quartet lineup. We have a couple of guitarists on standby and singers we work with from time to time, but when people think of the Consoles, I suppose we're the four people that sort of spring to mind.
When you decided that you were going to do this and give everything a jazz perspective, are you all trained jazz musicians?
I'm the only one that sort of went to formal music. I'm trained as a classical double bassist. I should say trained at a tertiary level. Obviously, everyone's sort of... Most of the guys actually met through playing in high school bands, and I actually go back a lot further than, you know, when I entered the picture. But I think after secondary, it was sort of the hobby, the escape from what everybody else was doing. Julian is actually a full-time musician now, but he wasn't studying that at a tertiary level. He sort of just kept up the passion, and then as the financial incentive came, it sort of allowed him to better his craft further. But, yeah, none of us are actually trained you know, jazz musicians per se. I'm the closest, but even then I'm a classical player by trade.
So when you decided you're going to jazz these things up, did you have any concerns about doing that, or did you all have a fairly clear idea in your mind about what it was you wanted to do?
The only real concern we have is that, you know, we're dealing with original material that's not ours. So, you know, what we're always at the mercy of the publishers and the original artists, which is totally understandable. So in terms of, like, concerns, that's the only one that we really have to sort of walk around. As far as the arrangements themselves, we got some really good advice early on, and that was, you know, because you always try and make every video perfect. You're always going with the idea that every video is going to be this perfect thing. But, you know, what is going to be your best output in year one is not going to be your best output in year five. And one of the good things about, you know, having this projection of, you know, when you go on for more and more videos, more and more years, and I suppose your fan base goes with you. And in that sense, while you're first starting out, while you're maybe not as good as you'd like to be, well, you're probably not going to have the fan base that you would. And then sort of the fan base has sort of grown as we've gotten a little bit better, and that's sort of nice and gives us the freedom to just sort of throw things at the wall, see what sticks. And the good thing about the internet is they'll definitely tell you if they don't like something. So, you know, we're always learning, we're always evolving, but the only real concern we have is sort of on the licensing side.
Yep.
And we've pretty much got a decent handle on that now, thankfully.
Good to hear. Now, you're doing two shows down here in Melbourne next weekend. You've got one on the Sunday night at the Paris Cat.
That's right.
I assume that's a different material to Saturday night.
That's right. So the two shows we've got, the Ocarina concert, which I mentioned before, is going on at the Malthouse Theatre. And that's not just us. We are one of the featured artists as part of a set of strings. We have an actual ocarina expert who will be playing a lot of the themes. And this is a celebration of the music of The Legend of Zelda for the 20th anniversary of the Ocarina of Time. So it's meant to evoke a lot of the feelings that people had when playing the game. We've got an ocarina. But we are very much one piece of a much larger puzzle, in the sense that there's, like, classical arrangements. Nick Young, the guy who organized it, is a concert pianist. So while we're featured, we'll be doing our jazz shtick. This will be a celebration of the music of The Legend of Zelda, but from all sorts of different angles. So the Saturday show is definitely the piece of a larger puzzle, whereas the Sunday show, which is happening at the Paris Cat, that's just all consoles. We've been fortunate enough this year to record our first fully-fledged studio album. And this weekend, so we'll be doing a show on the Friday night and then on Saturday, Sunday in Melbourne. This weekend is a celebration of that album, and that Paris Cat is essentially our Melbourne album launch, where we'll be playing stuff from the album, stuff from the Zelda show, to sort of celebrate the fact that we've finally put out a fully-fledged studio album and done all that.
A great achievement, Jonathan.
Oh, thank you. It was the first time. So the way we sort of usually do our YouTube shtick is we have a video every fortnight, so we'll maybe do, you know, 2 months at a time, which is like maybe four or five tunes, whereas this was 10 tunes in 2 days. That was something, you know, that really was an eye-opening experience. So we're definitely proud of it. We think it's some of our best work so far. And it's actually, some of the tunes are actually up on our YouTube at the moment. Yeah, so you can sort of catch that, some sneak peeks of that already, if you're so inclined.
Yep, fantastic. So Sunday night's your Melbourne launch of the album, which is called Game and Jazz, I think I saw somewhere.
That's right.
Yep. And then Saturday night, of course, is the Malthouse Theatre, where you've got, now what are they called? I've got them written down here. Nick Young, as you said. Yes, I had it all written down here, and guess what?
Ensemble Francais.
Ensemble Francais. Conbrio right, Strings.
Yep.
Yourselves and Ryan Williams, who, as I understand it, is a Melbourne-based recorder experimentalist who plays ocarina.
That's right. So Ryan really is the star of the show. It's really cool to see what he's done with these arrangements. He's really, I thought he's, like, because we did the show in Sydney last month, and I thought the way he played was incredibly faithful to the source material. We had a lot of really good feedback on that, so he's killer.
Fantastic. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining me here on Bent Notes. Appreciate the time to tell us about that. Good luck with next week's shows at the Paris Cat on Sunday night, and, of course, the Ocarina show on Saturday night at the Malthouse Theatre. That sounds like it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And would we say it's absolutely necessary for all gamers to go along and enjoy it?
I think if you're a fan of games and or jazz, it's a show that, you know, that's really gonna, you know, bring something to everyone. We've had people come to shows in the past who have no idea about games and are just in it for the jazz component. We like it. Likewise, we have people who are just big fans of games and have never really listened to jazz, who have come away from it really enjoying it. So I think if you're a fan of jazz, if you're a fan of games, there's something for you at both shows. So please come down. It'll be a really good time.
Fantastic. Well, Jonathan, again, thank you so much. Your website is theconsoles.com for all the details about the group itself. Look forward to hearing more about the consoles as time goes by.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Jonathan.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.